worship you today. God, we thank you for your presence here this morning. God, we just thank you, God, that in the midst of your presence, we can find peace. God, in the midst of your presence, we can find wholeness. God, we can find salvation. We can find encouragement. God, we thank you for who you are this morning. We exalt you this morning, God. We thank you for everything you're doing. In Jesus' name, we all pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We'll give you a moment this morning as we finish up in worship this morning. We'll give you an opportunity to give this morning. Now, Zach, if you would go down and do that for me, I would appreciate it. This morning, if you would like to give, there's an offering envelope in front of you. You can give through that. If you also, if you'd like to give, we have online giving as well. We will get you connected with that. There's several ways to give, so we'd love for you to do that. If you have a Connect card, please put that in the offering this morning as well so we can get to connect with you. And we just thank you for being here this morning. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this opportunity we have to give. I pray, God, that you would take this offering, this tithe that we are giving back to you, and we ask that you would bless it, God, that you would multiply it, that we would use it for what it's intended to be used for, to reach your people, God. We just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. We're excited about our membership service and as well we're going to be doing a baptism service. So if you are interested in being becoming a member here at the church, please let me know. See me and I'll get you some more information on that. Also, if you'd like to be baptized in water, please let me know that as well. I do know we have several people who are watching online, so it is exciting that we have online, and so we would love for you to share that. It'll be available after the service if you'd like to just go back and share the online service, but we have several people who are watching online this morning, and thank you for that. We actually have somebody who is working online service for us, so if I say something about the membership service, they're updating people on that while we're doing it, so it's great to be able to have that online presence and have people watching online. So thank you so much for watching online, and thank you so much for being here as well. That membership service, baptism service, is the 31st, and we can get you connected and letting you know about that and sign you up so that you're able to participate as well to doing that. So if that's not something you're interested in, please let us know. This morning, I want to start a series, and the series is going to extend several weeks. And this series is going to be a series that we are going to focus on who is Lead Church. Last week, if you remember, we talked about in the beginning, we talked about the Bible being the foundation of who we are and what we're going to be doing. And we're going to continue this week, starting in this series, and we're going to talk about who Lead Church is and how we become who we are, how we've gotten to this point. And so this week we're going to start this series titled Upon This Rock. And that comes from Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And if you have your Bibles, I am going to read out of the NLT today, so it will sound a little bit different depending on what translation you have. But it will be up here on the screen for you as well. And it says this, it says, "Now I say to you that you are Peter," Peter meaning rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." Some translations say the power of all of the powers of Hades, or will say that the gates of hell will not prevail. So all of the powers of hell will not conquer it. And so this is going to be our key scripture for this series, this Matthew 16, 18 will be our key scripture. And then we'll go and dig a little bit deeper into the word. And we'll dig a little bit deeper into other translations and other things that we're seeing as well. So we also want you to go, and I want you to go just a little bit farther down from that scripture in Matthew chapter 16. We're going to go to chapter 16, verse 24. We're going to look at 24 through 26 in just a moment. But like I said, we're going to do this for the next several weeks, be talking about the vision of who the church is. And we have to be prepared, and this is how we become prepared for who God is and who he is in us, and as well who we are going to be to the community. Yesterday we were out and we were able to be a part of the Italian festival, and it was amazing to be able to be there. But one thing I noticed while we were there was there wasn't a lot of presence from the community from the churches that were in the community. And I watched as there was other things that were going on, as there was bands, as there was booths, there was food booths, there was vendor booths, people were selling things, and it was just an amazing time for people in the community. They had a giant parade, and the parade was great, but where was the presence from the church people? There was not a single church, not one church in this entire area that was in the parade. As a float, as a truck, as somebody just walking with a church logo saying, hey, this is our church, we want to invite you, there was nothing there. And I said, there's got to be more than the church just showing up on Sunday morning and saying, okay, we're going to have service, and walking in and just expecting people to come without them knowing who you are, who the church is. Our church especially, we're off the beaten path a little bit. In order for you to park, you either find parking in our lot, which is not the best, or you park on the road, which Paula did this morning, and she parked all the way up there at the top, and I was like, you could have parked in the parking lot, but I'm understanding that, you know what, we don't have the best location for who we are. We're not in the best spot. We just, this week, had our sign replaced, and I don't know if you saw it when you came in, but it looks so great, having a digital sign where we can update it, and we can change it, and it's amazing. And we're going to be doing more updates to that sign. We're getting ready to get the cover over the top that has the Lead Church information on it. So we're excited about that. But one thing is that we have to be able to let people know who we are. And we have to know why we exist. Why would you wear a shirt that says Lead Church on it? If somebody came to you and said, who's Lead Church? You'd be like, oh, it's just that place that I've been going for the last several weeks. And you don't really know why you go, or you don't really know what the involvement with the church is. So this is going to be the opportunity for us to look at that and see why we exist and who we are. The first thing that we look at in our Lead Church logo, it actually says underneath the logo, it says lead, follow, and send. And that lead part, follow part, and send is what we're going to focus on in this series. So the first part of that is follow. And what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What does it mean to be a follower of God? So the first thing we have to do is we have to define the word follower. Defining the word follower. I looked it up in the dictionary and it says this. The first one says a devotee of a particular person, cause, or activity. A devotee. How do you become a devotee? How do you become devoted? So we're going to talk about that this morning. And the second one says that they move or travel behind someone or something. Move or travel behind someone or something. It's really interesting to me that in moments when I have traveled from location to location, place to place, that I have understood and I have seen how people have become devotees. They have been followers of certain sports teams or certain activities or things, and they become devoted to them into a place where they wear that stuff even when they're not in the same region. I have a friend who yesterday was wearing his Alabama stuff. And I looked at him and I said, "Do you even live there?" And he goes, "I know." He's like, "I like them, so I wear their stuff." You know, when I lived in South Carolina, I wore my St. Louis Cardinals stuff and I wore my Mizzou stuff. And when I wore my Mizzou stuff in the middle of South Carolina Gamecock country, it was bad. Not just was it bad that I was wearing Mizzou stuff, but when they played each other, it was like, okay, now we're going to really see who the best team is. The first year I was there, they played each other. Mizzou lost in the last quarter, and I heard about it every day. From the time I was there to the time I left, I heard about how South Carolina beat Mizzou, and it was really bad. But we become devotees, and we become people who just continually just follow after certain things, certain teams, certain players, certain people. And then how do we do that when it becomes part for us to do that at church? How do we do that when it becomes part for us to do that in front of people and let them know who God is? I wrote this down and it says, a follower is someone who lays aside their own agenda for the cause of another. So I want to look at this passage in Matthew verse 16 and it's verse 24, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 26. And I want to see what it says here. And I like what it says here. And it says this, it says, Jesus said to the disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, remember, a follower is a devotee of a particular person or a cause or activity. So if any of you wants to be my follower, you must put aside your selfish ambition. Shoulder your cross, or pick up your cross in some of their translations, and follow me. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find true life. And how do you benefit if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? In this process, is anything worth more than your soul? So today I want to talk about three things that I picked up out of this message, out of these three small verses. And I want to look at three things that I picked up and I want to look at this morning. And the first one is this. We have to give up me. We have to give up self. You see, in order for us to be a follower of Jesus, we have to not only understand what the word says, but we have to give ourselves up. We can't sit and say, okay, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, but I'm not going to do anything that the Bible says for me to do.
Right.
Because that doesn't help us. That doesn't do what we're supposed to do. So we have to give ourselves up. And what does that mean? That means sometimes I have to give up my desires, my dreams, my plans, my goals, the things I want to do. Does that mean that I'm going to be completely in a place where I will never have my own goals or my own desires or my own plans? No, that's not what it means. It means that we have to give up our selfish desires.
Right.
It means the desires that we have that is something that we want to do. It means that in moments we're going to have to say, I don't have time to go and do this because I'm devoted to doing this instead. When the disciples got called by Jesus, he said, take everything you have, leave it where it is, and come follow me. Don't worry about those things. Just follow what it is I'm asking you to do. You know, he could have looked at them and said, okay, take your boat and go put it away. Get it out of the water. Go clean it up. Go take your nets and clean all that up because you're going to need it eventually later. You know, when you're ready to go back to it, it'll be all clean and prepared and done. And then come and follow me and I'll see you in 6 hours.
Right.
He didn't say that. He said, drop everything right now and come and follow me. Because, and the way that we understand this is that when they dropped everything, it was a sacrifice.
Right.
It was a sacrifice for them to look and say, I'm going to stop right now what I'm doing, and I'm going to follow Jesus. And if I follow him, it's going to do something. It's going to cost me something. See, for us to follow God, it's a cost. That cost is for us to give up the things that we want, the things that we desire. Now, I will promise you that there will be plans and dreams and desires that you are going to have. and things that you want to do, and things that you say, this is my desire, this is my dream, this is my plan. But something happens when we lay those things down and we say, God, I just need, I'm going to give this to you. God, I'm going to give you this, this desire that I have. I'm going to give you this dream that I have. I'm going to give you this thing that I want to do. Because when we give up us, all of a sudden we realize that not only are we giving ourselves up, but we're giving ourselves to Him for Him to use us to do something different.
That's good.
So when we decide that we're going to allow Him to use us, we give ourselves up. Remember that a follower devotes themselves to the cause. They don't devote themselves to one part of the cause. They don't devote themselves when they want to. They devote themselves fully to the cause that they are going after.
Yeah.
So we give up our plans, we give up our dreams, we give up the things that we want. But then we get new dreams, and we get new plans,
right,
and we get new desires. Because the Bible says that God knows the desires of your heart. And just because you give up your desires and your plans and your dreams to follow Him doesn't mean that He looks and says, okay, now you're going to have no desires at all. You're going to have no dreams. You're going to have no aspirations. You're basically going to walk this world and have nothing to do. He's going to place new dreams and new desires in you. He's going to place new things in you that says, hey, remember that thing that you said you wanted to be on a stage and you wanted to be singing? Well, guess what? I'm going to give you a voice so that you can sing and you can worship me and lead people into the presence of worship. Remember when you said that you really enjoyed doing this job? I'm going to get it to where you have this job and you're going to be able to do really well. And while you're doing that, you're going to be able to minister to other people.
Yeah.
I heard a story about Albert Pujols at one point, and it said that every time that he would get a guy that would come to first base, that he would talk to that player on first base. Every time. So if a guy gets a single and he rounds the base and comes back and he stands there, Albert Pujols is saying hello to him. He's talking to him. He's asking him questions. But one day he asks one particular player and he says, do you know who Jesus is? Do you have a relationship with Him? What is going to happen to you after you leave baseball? What is your next place? What's the next thing you're going to do? And he asked him questions that were important questions, but he did it in the middle of his job, in the middle of walking out his purpose, what he was supposed to be doing, smashing home runs, playing first base, trying to get this guy out. He's witnessing to this guy standing on first base. And it said that the guy looked and he said, you know what? It was weird that he would ask me that question. He said, but the crazy part was is when I walked up and I got back on first base the next time. Because it wasn't just a question he asked me one time. He asked me the next time, so did you think about what I said? Now, there's nine other players that are playing. Eight other players are playing this game. He's got to wait until the player gets all the way back to first base before he talks to him again. But when he sees him, he says, hey, did you think about what I was asking you? Did you have any idea what I was really saying? You see, in the middle of him being in his job, doing what he was doing, what he was really blessed to be able to do, he was using that as a platform to be able to say, even though I'm playing here, I'm using the calling that I have to continue to reach people. You see, he doesn't just walk up and say, okay, I'm just going to hit home runs. He says, I'm going to walk up, I'm going to hit home runs, but I'm also going to minister to people when I see them in the place that they're going to be.
That's good.
See, somebody was placed there in that moment for him to speak to them. You see, we have to lay ourselves down. We have to lay our life down. When we lay our life down, something happens.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says this, the next thing is that we have to pick up something. When we lay our life down, when you lay something down, you always pick something back up. So in order for us to lay our life down, we have to lay our life down, but we have to pick up Jesus.
Yeah.
We can't just lay our life down at the altar today and then walk back and pick up the same stuff that we've been dealing with and walk out the door. We have to lay our life down here and pick up what Jesus has for us, and we have to do something with it. We have to pick it up and take it somewhere. You see, there's a whole bunch of people outside of this building this morning. That are outside, that maybe they're not going to church. Maybe they're unchurched people. Maybe they're going to church, but they just don't feel like they have a connection with who God is. And sometimes they walk in the building and they lay their life down and they pick up the same stuff that they laid down and they walk back in the car and they drive away and they go home and they're in the same situation they were in before. But you see, when they lay their life down, Jesus says to lay your life down here, but pick up your cross. Pick up the thing that is going to show that you are my disciple. Pick up the things that are going to show who you're following. And say this, I'm laying my life down here, but I'm picking up the cause that you have for me.
Yeah.
Because remember, we go after a cause. A follower goes and follows a cause. So we lay our life down. We say, I'm done doing my own thing. I'm done doing what I have to do. For me, and I'm going to follow you when we pick up Jesus and we walk this road with him. But you see, something happens when we pick up Jesus and we start to walk this road. We have a decision to make. We can either be vocal about our decision or we can be quiet about our decision. And I promise you that God doesn't want us to be quiet about our decision to follow him. He doesn't want us to say, okay, I'm following God, but I'm doing it quietly in my house where nobody can see it. I'm going to follow God, but I'm going to do it quietly where nobody understands that I'm doing anything. We're just going to sit back and just wait for him to bring somebody to me for me to be able to talk to him. You see, with that same situation with Howard Pujols, one of the things that he does is he constantly talks about who God is. He's constantly talking about God openly to people, not just when they come to first base and talk to him. Because he's constantly showcasing who he is, who God is in him. Because there's going to come a moment where he knows that he's not going to be at first base always. There's coming a moment where he knows he's going to eventually retire from what he's doing. And if he's not doing something for God then, he's going to have to try to figure it out when he gets out of baseball. So He laid down his life here. He picked up the cross. He said, I'm going to follow God and I'm going to do what it is that he's asked for me to do. He continually talks to people, continually showcases who Jesus is. He shows them that he has a relationship with Jesus. Does that mean that our Pujols is perfect? No, it doesn't. Does that mean that we're perfect when we pick up our cross and we follow Jesus? No, because I'm a person. Sometimes I follow things that are my will, my things that I want to do, my dreams, my aspirations. And I have to turn around and go, God, if this isn't what you want me to do, fix it. If this isn't following what you asked for me to do, fix it. You see, then we get to that place where we follow Jesus and we get to the place where we're like, okay, I've laid everything down and I picked up my cross and I'm starting to walk with him. But then I'm starting to see that I have different dreams and different desires. And things start bubbling up on the inside that's a little bit different than what I'm used to.
Come on, Lester.
You see, when I was in youth ministry, I was always excited when we had 10 kids show up to youth ministry. And I'm like, awesome, we got 10 kids tonight. When we had 11 kids or 12 kids, I was like, this is cool. This morning, we have more people here than we had in our last youth service. And I'm like, yes, that's awesome. But I felt like this morning, like I was like, okay, this is like youth ministry all over again. It's just the people are a little bit older that I'm talking to, so it's going to be a little bit different, but it's okay. Because last week, we had a great attendance last week. And this week, we have a great attendance this week. But what would happen if next week we had 5 more people show up? Are you going to understand that we've not just came in to worship Jesus, that we've not just come in to hear a couple songs, hear somebody talk, and walk out the building, that we've actually laid our stuff down on the altar and we said, it's time for us to follow Jesus and make him known outside of this building.
Come on.
Because if we don't take and showcase who Jesus is outside the building, all we've done is say, I've laid my stuff down, but I'm still going to go my own direction. So we have to pick up the cross daily. We have to show people who he is. Every day we have to choose to make that decision. Am I going to go back to what it is that I was doing before, or am I going to follow him? So we have this little bit of a decision to make. We have to pick him up, and then it's already up there. The other ones follow him. Like I said, it's one thing to pick the cross up, and it's another thing to actually go. It's another thing to pick the cross up and to say, I'm going to do it, and then walk over here and pick up our stuff that we had before. You see, there's a group of people out of this building that are looking for something new. They're looking for something that needs to be shown to them. When I was at the Italian Fest this weekend, it really got me thinking about who we are and what we want to be.
Yeah.
Who is Lead Church? What do we want to be known for in the community? And I told my wife, I said, there has to get to a place, we have to get ourselves to a place where people in the community know who Lead Church is.
Yeah.
Not by us showcasing who we are everywhere we go, but they know who we are because they see that we're out and we're doing things in the community. That we're pouring into the community. That we're not just looking and saying, hey, we need you to come and help us to take care of this, or we want you to come and do this. But we're showcasing people that we're showing them who Jesus is because they understand that we're a follower of him.
Yes.
So a follower of Jesus. Honestly, I will tell you that we can have a room full of people that know who Jesus is. And we could walk out of this building and not one of them would do anything about it to talk to that person that's on the side of the road that needs to know who Jesus is. Because there's a giant difference between churchgoers and church and Jesus followers. There's a giant difference between somebody who just comes to church on Sunday and says, this is a great day, and I'm glad to be here, and I'm doing this out of repetition, and this is what I've always done for my whole life. Then there is to come in and walk in and say, I'm going to follow Jesus, and I'm going to do what he has called for me to do. It's showcased in what your life is like daily.
That's right.
It's showcased in what your life becomes tomorrow and the day after. You see, I said one point, I said that we need to make sure that we drop our desires and our dreams. But we need to pick up those dreams that God's given us.
Yeah.
Those things that we say, oh, we're ready for this. We're ready to see God do this. We want to see God do that. Are we really ready to see God move? Are we really ready to see people walk into the building and say, I want to be a follower of Jesus? Because the next thing that we're going to talk about next week, how do we lead people? If we're followers of Jesus, we have to be able to do something. We have to be able to lead that next person into also being a follower.
Right.
And I don't want to speak all of next week's message already, but I want you to understand that in order for you to be a follower of Jesus, you also have to be a leader. You also have to be the person that says, you know what? I got something that you need. There's something that's going on right now that you need to be a part of. And this is what it is. So this morning, I want to give you this opportunity to think about a little bit, what does it mean? What does it mean for you to be a follower of Jesus? I mean, I'm going to say this in this way. Lead Church doesn't simply just exist.
Yeah.
But we exist to first follow God. And it's not just following him on Sunday mornings when we walk into this building. It's not just following him at the moment of saying, here's what we're going to do. This is what we are. We're going to follow him in this building, but when we walk out, we're going to be completely different. We're going to have different attitudes. You know, that's why we have the Lead Love basket in the back. Because we want to showcase who we are as a church, but we also want to show our community that we're not just here for people to come in. We want to go out and give.
Yeah.
That's the reason why we did the Italian Fest, so we could meet people in the community. That's the reason why we're continually posting things on Facebook, while we're putting stuff on our sign, because we want people to see who Jesus is.
Yeah.
But we have to show people who Jesus is outside of Sunday morning.
Amen. Come on.
We have to be showing people who Jesus is outside of our normal day-to-day, here I'm going to church. Okay, I went to church on Wednesday night. I went to church Sunday night. I went to church Sunday morning. We have to showcase who Jesus is on a constant daily basis. That's in our attitudes. That's in the way we talk to people. That's in how we respond to conflict with people. Because there's a lot of people who are looking to see, are you a follower of Jesus, or are you just a churchgoer that goes on a week? See, I used to have this guy that I worked with, and he always would try to get under my skin just that much. He always told me, he said, before you leave here, because I know you're not going to be here forever. He said, before you leave here, I'm going to hear you say something bad. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, I'm going to make you say a cuss word. He's like, I will get you to say one. In the time that you are here, I will get you to say one cuss word. Just one. And I looked at him and I said, let me ask you this question. I said, what does it benefit you to hear me say something bad? And he looked at me and he says, because then I'll know if what you're telling me is real or if you're just playing the game. And I was like, wow. I was like, I never thought of it that way. He's testing me to see if what I'm actually telling him and the way I'm talking to him every day and the way that I act every day, he's wanting to find out, am I serious about what I'm doing? Or is it just a game I play when I'm at work? Is it just something I just talk about every day, but I don't really live it out? You see, to be a follower of Jesus, you have to live it out every day.
That's right.
We can't just assume that today we don't have to be a follower of Jesus. We can say whatever we want, do whatever we want, and then come back the next day and be like, oh, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus today because it looks really good on my Facebook account that I am. I'm going to be a follower of Jesus today because I'm going and interacting with this person. Instead of yesterday when I was with that person, I was a little bit different. We can't choose and pick what day it is that we want to be a follower of Jesus.
Right.
I've heard people say this before. It's like, I'm glad Jesus didn't pick and choose what day he wanted to die on the cross. I'm glad he didn't pick and choose what day he decided he wanted to save me. And today he doesn't want to save anybody, but tomorrow, if we would come to it tomorrow at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he'll save everybody.
Come on.
There's not a pick and choose. We don't get to pick and choose when we're going to be a follower of Jesus. We make that decision and we say, I'm going to be a follower, and we do it and we go. And we do what he's asked for us to do. See this Bible that I have up here, this word? I don't get to pick and choose what I want to read out of it and how that affect my life, and what I want to obey and what I don't want to obey, and what it is that I want to see for it to say to me. And when it starts to say something that I don't really like, all of a sudden I look and I go, I don't want to finish what that's saying right now. Because if I'm a follower of Jesus, I also have to be a follower of what his word says.
That's right.
If I'm a follower of Jesus, I have to understand that his word is supposed to speak to me and it's supposed to challenge me. His word is supposed to get me to a place where I say, God, I'm really messed up in this part. His word is supposed to get to a place where I look at it and I say, I need to be doing better on this. Because I promise you one thing. Each person who is a follower of Jesus, every disciple that was a follower of Jesus, every person in the Bible who was a follower of Jesus, we can understand that each one of them had a different relationship with Jesus than the one before. See, the disciples had a different relationship with Jesus because they were with him every day. They saw things about Jesus that some people didn't get to see. And when Jesus walked into a city, the first thing that he saw, that they saw, was all the things that they had heard about. When they started to see him actually walking over and praying for people, actually touching people and actually ministering to people, they saw all of these things that happened. But the disciples, since they were with him every day, they saw him when he was walking. They saw him when he was tired. They saw him when he was hungry. I don't know if Jesus was ever hangry, but I bet that he would probably be have that point where he was like, hey, I need to get some food. I need to eat a little bit. I need to have a cup of coffee, because until I have my coffee, I'm not awake. But where are you at today? Are you a follower of him that you're just getting started? Are you a follower of him that you say, you know what, I really do need to pick my cross up. I need to pick the cross up, and I need to follow what it is that he's had for me. Because like I said earlier, it's one thing to drop our stuff, but it's another thing to pick him up.
Yeah.
And we have to pick him up. And then we don't just pick him up, but we follow what it is that he's asking for us to do. So this morning, my question for you is are you a follower of him? Now, like I said, there's three different ways to be a follower. The first one is we have to drop us. We have to put us away. And I know for a lot of people that's hard, because the first thing we think of is, this is going to be terrible. I'm not going to be able to do anything that I want to do. But I promise you that God will take care of you. When you are a follower of him, he'll take care of you. He'll look at you and say, you know what? The sacrifice that you're making, I'm going to sacrifice. Something else is going to be in that place. Your desire to do this, I'm going to put something else in your place. And you're not going to need to worry about that, because this has been there. So this morning, when I say that upon this rock we build our church, but upon this foundation of knowing that we have to first be followers of Jesus. We have to be followers of him where we understand that we're called to follow him. That's the whole reason why he asked for us to be his disciples. That's the whole reason why he came here, was so that we could be followers of him. So we can understand who he is. And we can walk and talk with him. And we can have this relationship with him. See, there's a lot of people that are looking to see if our relationship is real. There's a lot of people who are looking to see if what we're doing is right. When you leave today, people may not see you walk out of the building. They might not see you pull out of the parking lot. But tomorrow at work, they're going to see you. Tomorrow at work, they're going to see your attitude. Tomorrow they're going to see how you react when that person cuts you off while you're driving. Tomorrow they're going to see how you react when that coffee hasn't kicked in yet. When you're tired and you don't want to be there. When you get to the grocery store and can't find what you're looking for, and you're getting frustrated because there's not a single person there that'll help you. They're going to look and see how you respond, how your action is. I'll be honest, it may not be tomorrow. It may be as soon as you walk out the door. Because I know one thing. But when God starts to talk to us and God starts to challenge us to go higher, go to that next level, go to that next place that he has for us, the enemy says, okay, we'll see how you do. We'll test you in this little thing. I'll test you and see how you do in this category. Because when I know that you're in this category, you're in this place, and I can look at you and be like, you really messed that up last week. You want to try that again? You really messed it up this week. You know, you yelled at that person when they cut you off, and you're saying you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to pick up your cross, you're going to follow him, you're going to walk out of this door, and you're going to share who Jesus is. Let's see if you do that when this person cuts you off. Let's see if they don't let you out of the parking lot. I got frustrated this weekend because I went to go take my family to an event. When I got to the event, I couldn't find a single parking spot. And and I drove around for an hour looking for parking. And I finally looked at my wife and I looked at my son and I said, I can't do it anymore. I can't continue to drive around in a circle in traffic trying to find a parking spot when there's nothing for me to find. I can't find a place to park. I'm not going to walk 10 miles to where I want to go. I'm just going to go home. And instead of doing what we were going to do, we did something else. Went and got ice cream instead. Went home, sat on the couch, and fell asleep earlier than what I would have if I was out. But I knew one thing. I knew if I would have continued to sit there and go over it in my mind the whole time, that my attitude wasn't going to be right when I got there. My attitude wasn't going to be right, and when somebody took that parking spot I was getting ready to take, I was going to be upset. I was going to be mad. So I said, you know what? I was like, I'm done. I can't do anymore. And I had to rely on God to allow me to say, it's okay for me to be upset. It's okay for me to be frustrated. But it's not okay for me to respond out of that frustration. So I took up and I dropped the stuff that I had, and I followed him, and I said, God, I was like, I'm just going to do something different. I'm going to go do something else. You know, we're going to go and have a good time as a family somewhere else, doing something else, but I just can't right now. Because I didn't want to change the witness that I could have possibly had if I would have pulled up and taken a parking spot and somebody would have got mad at me. And I would have said something that I shouldn't have. Or I would have responded in some way differently than I would have normally. So my question for you today is there's people out there that are watching you. There's people outside of this building that are waiting to see how you're going to respond. And they want to know, are you just a churchgoer or are you a follower? Are you following after Jesus? Have you laid your life down on the altar and said, I'm done with myself. I'm going to follow him, picking up the cross and walking out and saying, I'm going to be a difference maker today. Or are you just a churchgoer? Are you just coming to church because that's what you do? That's what Sunday mornings looks like. I want to be honest with you. If you look at me and you say, I'm just a churchgoer right now, I'm not getting on to you. I'm not condemning you. I'm not saying anything bad. But I'm saying this. When you're ready to go to that place, when you're ready to lay your life down on the altar and pick up Jesus and follow him, we're going to be right here waiting for you. We're going to be right here saying, let's do this together. So this morning, I want to pray this morning. My sermons may or may not be longer. I don't know. Kind of out the same time we were last week. So, that's all right. But this morning, I want to pray. And I just want you to be honest with yourself this morning. Am I a churchgoer or am I a follower? Am I following him? Have I laid my life down and picked up the cross and following him every day? Or am I just going to church and going through the motions? So this morning I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, and I'm not going to ask you to pray a prayer with me. But I'm going to ask you to observe yourself. To take a moment to think of yourself this morning. Take a moment and think, where am I in my walk? Where are you today? Have you picked up your cross and started walking but turned away and said, I'm going to pick up that stuff I had before? Or are you laid down and you said, I just haven't picked the cross up yet. I laid my stuff down, but I haven't picked the cross up yet. This morning I want to challenge you. Lay your life down. Pick up the cross and follow him. And see if he doesn't change the way you do things. God, I thank you for every single person who is in this room. God, every person who's within the sound of my voice this morning that came to this church this morning. God, God, I ask, God, that as we leave here this morning, God, that we see something, that we feel something, that we understand something, God, that you speak to us in a new way. God, whatever it is that we need to do this morning, to be followers of you, to understand that we need to follow you. God, whatever it is that we have done today, whatever it is that we're going to do tomorrow, God, let those be dreams and plans and desires that you have for us. God, let us walk out something new this week. God, I thank you, God, that you are moving in our midst, God. And I ask, God, that you would touch us this morning, that you would be with the people here, God, that you would be with the people who have watched online this morning. God, and let us follow you every day. Let us walk this out and follow you daily, God. Thank you for that, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Thank you so much for being here this morning. We'd love to see you next week at 10:30. Bring somebody with you.